This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Hello, America. This is Washington Watch on Friday, September 16, in the year of our Lord, 2016. I'm your guest host, Ken Klukowski, Senior Counsel and Director of Strategic Affairs at First Liberty Institute, the largest law firm in the United States exclusively dedicated to protecting religious liberty. Check out what we're doing there, fighting for your rights at firstliberty.org. Also senior legal editor for Breitbart News Network, exposing the truth about the liberal left and telling you the real news that the establishment media tries to ignore. Find out what's really going on in your nation and your world at Breitbart.com. But instead of First Liberty or Breitbart, I am speaking to you today as a Christian, conservative, husband, father, and a citizen blessed to live in the greatest nation in the history of the world, the United States of America. We're talking faith, family, and freedom this hour, and we want you to join us at 866-372-7234. In our next segment, we'll be taking your calls again at 866-372-7234. And with that, let's get going. Welcome to Washington. We're going to be having a wonderful guest on today, really highlighting, if like me, you have been watching the news over the past few days and your head's just about ready to explode. You can't believe what you're seeing. You can't believe what you're hearing. You think it's a fiction movie, and then you realize, no, this is actually the nightly news, and this is what's really going on in this country. And one man who says that he can bring order to this chaos and get this country back on the right track is none less than Mr. Donald J. Trump, the Republican nominee for president of the United States. And so we decided we would like to get some input from Mr. Trump's team regarding what we see going on in the campaign even this week. Given the subject matter, I do want to start out by saying that Washington Watch and our related affiliates do not support or oppose candidates for president or any federal office. Any endorsements made or opinions expressed are made strictly in the personal capacity of our guests or callers or your humble host and do not represent Washington Watch or those who carry the program. That said, let's turn on to get an opinion from exactly such an individual. Mr. Boris Epstein is a senior advisor to the Trump-Pence 2016 campaign, focuses on media, communications, and foreign policy. He's a Republican strategist, an investment banker, and like me, an attorney. You could very easily have seen him, as I have, on Fox News, also appears on Fox Business, CNN, MSNBC, CNBC, and other media outlets, where Mr. Epstein provides analysis on topics including not just this presidential campaign, but international affairs in general, political strategy, legal issues, and of course, financial markets and the economy. Has a long and distinguished political resume, and this is not his first time around the block. And so we're grateful for his perspective. Boris, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Now, over the past few days, Boris, I mean, it's just been astounding. We've seen everything from health concerns involving Secretary Clinton to her manifest and repeated lies regarding her health issues over the past few days. But all of this came on the heels of last week. I was present. I saw Mr. Trump and Governor Pence give just an incredible speech to the Values Voter Summit here in Washington, D.C. last week, talking about religious liberty, talking about a number of different social issues, also dealing with the economy and national security, and really capped off with some serious talk about the U.S. Supreme Court, bringing the crowd to their feet. And it just seems like such a contrast over this past week that it looked like Mr. Trump and Governor Pence were just soaring while Hillary Clinton appeared to be caught in lies of her own making. And then in the few days since that, over this intervening week, we've seen this real splitting of the polls where it looks like Mr. Trump is now surging forward both in national polls and in the swing states. And I guess I would love to have your perspective. What has been going on with the campaign over these past 7 to 10 days where it looks like the American people are responding?
Well, you know, listen, it's really about the message, right? And Mr. Trump has been driving the message home time and time and time again, telling the American people that, you know, that the Obama Clinton policies, the Clinton Obama economy, no longer cut it. They no longer cut it for the American people. You know, we haven't had 3% GDP growth in 8 years. You know, we've lost 700,000 jobs due to NAFTA. If you look at all the policies that have been promulgated by Democrats in this country, they are the reason that this is the worst economic recovery in the history of this country, or at least definitely since the Great Depression. So there's no question.
Yeah, if this is a recovery, I'd hate to see an economic downturn.
That's right. There's no question that we need somebody who's a strong leader. We need somebody who has actual plans. You saw the job care plan. You saw the economy plan. Just over the last week, two concrete policy proposals that, you know, frankly, Americans are just not seeing with Hillary Clinton. So it's all about delivering the right message.
Now, what would you say it's we heard in regarding that message, and I'm specifically here thinking about the courts. I mean, for this audience, this is a Christian conservative program. There's a lot of focus on family issues. I mean, now obviously, a job is a family issue. Every family needs to be able to have a paycheck, to have someone earning a paycheck, to put food on the table and a roof over your head, and to care for children. And of course, those are also national security issues. I mean, we need an economy that will fuel the arsenal of democracy, which has America as the sole superpower on earth right now. But our listeners, there's a million of them, and they care about all those things. But this audience is really focused too on matters of the family and matters of the heart, the life of the unborn, religious liberty. And Mr. Trump and the governor last week speaking at VVS really talked up the issue of our nation's highest court. Now, I would love to get your thought on something. I mean, I am right now writing a brief in what will be my 14th case before the U.S. Supreme Court. And right now, there's just an incredible 4-4 split on so many issues, not every issue, but on so many issues that's like this country is at a fork in the road. And Mr. Trump seems to be getting that in terms of talking about the stakes for this country on the issues that they care about. What are your thoughts on that?
Listen, you're hitting the nail completely on the head. We so sadly lost Justice Scalia earlier this year. And now the court is in this truly paralyzed state in a way, right, 4-4. So on this election rests the future of the Supreme Court, future of this country, and future of those key issues, the family issues that you, your listeners, and all our voters and all Americans really should and do care about. So Donald Trump is the one that who will appoint those judges, who will vote the way that your listeners, the people who care about life, people who care about the key family issues out there, that's the way that those judges will vote. And so that's why I think it's so important for not just the independents, not just for the folks who are sort of down the middle, but really for our Republican base, for those who are our strongest supporters, to be energized, motivated to go out there and vote.
Now, Boris, we see that, as you mentioned, the death of the late, great Justice Antonin Scalia, who was 79 years old. Now, time eventually catches up to us all. Justice Ginsburg is going on 83 right now. Anthony Kennedy is 80 years old. Justice Stephen Breyer is 78 years old, just 1 year shy of where Justice Scalia was when he passed. So, I mean, the consensus view is that over the next 4-year presidential term. Obviously, we have one vacancy on the high court right now, but there is I've heard the Mr. Trump say they think he'll probably have three picks. I certainly agree with that. He also says that he could have four. He could even have five, especially over the space if it would be a two-term presidency, and I certainly agree with that. It's not just these social issues, though, but it's national security issues. It's job issues, and I know you deal with that so much. I mean, in 2008, I mean, I was there in Boumediene v. Bush when the Supreme Court said that when our military captures a terrorist on a foreign battlefield and then holds them on foreign soil, that somehow they had habeas corpus rights to contest their detention. And that, I would say, was what the worst national security decisions we've had in our nation's history. But then on the flip side, over the past year, we saw a couple major rulings from the courts, 5-4, on EPA rules and on federal regulations that are just killing small businesses and killing job creators. Where do you think Mr. Trump's focus is between executive action versus judicial appointments on issues that create jobs? What does he see as the role of the courts and especially the Supreme Court when it comes to an environment that creates jobs and wealth?
Well, you want to appoint the judges who don't stand in the way of business, right? You want to appoint the kind of judges who want to make sure that businesses are free to conduct their work and conduct their deeds. Of course, within all the applicable rules, laws, and regulations, but that we're not putting up roadblocks to businesses. So in terms of hiring, et cetera, et cetera. You want to make sure those judges are not activist judges, that the judges, they interpret the Constitution as it was written, as it was, you know, and truly within the realms of the writing of the Constitution. So that's very important on that half. And then on the executive action side, it is absolutely key that we have a president who understands how business is run. That is a pragmatist. That's someone who spent a lifetime creating jobs. Hillary Clinton's only been killing jobs, while Donald Trump has spent his whole career, his whole life, employing everybody, men, women, African-Americans, Hispanic-Americans, minorities. He's got a lifelong career of bringing Americans to the table, making sure Americans are working, making sure Americans are fed. Well, Hillary Clinton is just a retread of the same old policies that resulted in a failed economy, and truly, also, she was such a failure on the national security side. As Secretary of State, we can't afford four more years.
Now, Boris, looping back with one final question on the Supreme Court on the time that we have. Now, Mr. Trump has put out a list of 11 potential judges who could replace Justice Scalia on the Supreme Court, where no one could replace him, but certainly to succeed him, to fill his seat. Now, I've written those up on Breitbart News. I called that list a conservative gold mine. But once we get past Justice Scalia's seat, if Justice Kennedy retires from the bench, if Justice Ginsburg leaves the bench, we've got 60 seconds. What will be Mr. Trump's approach for his second and third Supreme Court picks, upon which the future direction of the republic really relies?
Well, listen, that list obviously goes way beyond one name, two names, three names. It's a list, that would encompass it. That's longer than the Supreme Court itself, right? So those are the kind of judges. Those judges are the baseline. They're the mold of the kind of judge that Mr. Trump will appoint once he's president.
We've been talking with Boris Epstein, who is senior advisor with the Trump-Pence campaign. Mr. Epstein, we really appreciate that you would take the time to speak to our listeners, and I think to really draw together for them how issues like the courts aren't just a matter of social issues, but also economic and national security as well. So we thank you for your time, and God bless, sir.
Thank you very much for having me, and have a wonderful weekend to you and all your listeners, and go out and vote.
Thanks. Thanks so much. Folks, we're back with your calls after the break at 866-372-7234.
Does the U.S. Senate have a responsibility to confirm anyone that President Obama nominates to fill Justice Scalia's vacated seat? After the passing of U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, an intense political debate has emerged around this crucial question. The Constitution does not require conditions or limitations on the manner in which the Senate must act if the President nominates. Family Research Council believes that the Senate should not consider or deliberate on any nominee President Obama puts forward to fill Justice Scalia's vacated seat. This is because the president has consistently nominated Supreme Court justices and federal judges who view the Constitution as a malleable political instrument instead of a text with a defined meaning based on the consensus held by the Founding Fathers. To learn more about this critical issue, including 8 helpful questions and answers, visit frc.org/Supreme Court. That's frc.org/Supreme Court.
Freedom is an amazing gift from God, and He's given us an incredible number of heroes charged with the job of protecting it. I'm Eric Horner, and I'd like to invite you to be a part of doing something really special for those who've answered freedom's call. On Saturday, September 17th, Operation Tankful of Love, in partnership with American Family Radio, will again be working to bless the men and women serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with a gift of some free gas.
Living the life of a soldier is rough with being away from family and having to deal with just the environment that's there sometimes, and this kind of stuff raises morale.
The sacrifice that you guys make makes the sacrifice that we make so much worth it.
If you'd like to be a part of Operation Tankful of Love 2016, you can give us a call at 877-968-3742 to make your tax-deductible donation. You can also donate online by going to tankfulofloveoff.com. Won't you join us in being the hands and feet of Jesus to those who serve?
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. The statistics are sobering. Over 500 killed in Chicago this year alone. After a violence-filled Labor Day weekend, Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson said, "It's not a police issue, it's a society issue. People without hope do these kinds of things. You show me a man that doesn't have hope, I'll show you one that's willing to pick up a gun and do anything with it." What the left doesn't realize is that no amount of welfare programs or gun control regulations will give hope. More than 6,000 illegal guns have been confiscated this year in Chicago, yet violence rages. Millions have their stomachs filled through public assistance, yet their souls are empty. There's only one source of true hope, the good news of Christ. May we, His followers, be vigilant in proclaiming that hope to the hopeless in our communities. This is a Decency Minute. Find us at AmericanDecency.org. I'm Bill Johnson.
Back, America. This is Ken Flukowski, guest hosting at Washington Watch, and we are opening up the phone lines for your calls at 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. It's time for you to sound off and tell your leaders in Washington, or those at least who should be leading us, it's certainly their job description, even when they fail to do so, what they need to hear. There are a lot of those teams are listening to this broadcast, and this is your opportunity to share with them and a million of your fellow Americans what the truth really is and what's important to you at 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And we're starting today with Fran from Missouri. Fran, you're on Washington Watch.
Hello.
Hello, Fran.
Yes, I just did want to mention a few things. I listen to you regularly, and I'm quite disturbed with our current corrupt administration for the last 8 years. And my question is, don't we have some Family Research Council lawyers or someone with some power that could do something legally to Obama and the Attorney General?
I'm a lawyer. I'm certainly happy to answer that. Well, what would you like to see done? What would you have me do?
Let's say prison.
Well, unfortunately, only the government can criminally prosecute someone. So at the state level, that's a state attorney general or a county district attorney, and different states have different names for their district attorneys. Or at the federal level, that is, ironically, the U.S. attorney general. So I don't think she is prosecuting herself at the moment. I don't know if even that might even be unethical. That could be a conflict of interest to try prosecuting yourself. But even if there's not an ethical impediment, I don't expect to see her do it. Aside from criminal prosecution, what else would you like to see?
I mean, is there a chance after this administration is over to do some work on that?
work on what?
Process.
I'm sorry?
I'm sure it's already in process.
Criminal prosecution?
Yeah, or at least some research anyway.
I'm not sure criminal prosecution is going to go much of anywhere. Now, I have to say, regarding the crimes that it appears Hillary Clinton committed with regards to national security information and a number of other issues regarding those and the aides under her, like all the ones pleading the Fifth Amendment, you know, it's in law, in court, you don't consider someone guilty because they plead the Fifth Amendment. But in the court of public opinion, when someone says, I refuse to answer your question, on the grounds that it could incriminate me, and so the Fifth Amendment says I don't have to answer your question, that's usually a big clue. I mean, if you put me under oath and say, what did you have for breakfast this morning, I'm not going to attempt to plead the Fifth Amendment on that. So it's I think maybe you could see criminal prosecutions on some of that stuff. So it's wish there were more answers for you, friend, but the reality is this. There is one thing that you can do, and that is that you can vote. You know, we're a Democratic Republic here. This is a constitutional republic. And there are matters for which the courts provide limited or no recourse, but where the American people can speak out and hold people accountable. And they do so through exercise their right to vote and getting involved in speaking like you are on this program to persuade your fellow citizens to get involved and get all the corrupt folks out and install a whole new team. Fran, thank you for calling. Turning now to Lori from Nebraska. Lori, you're on Washington Watch.
Thank you for taking my call. I would just
Absolutely.
Like to go on record to encourage all Americans that are legal citizens and legally registered to vote to get out and vote this election. The other thing is, my husband and I are both, we had great-grandparents that immigrated here legally, broke their backs working hard to make a living. My husband and I purchased our own farm, working ourselves. We have a college education. We both have jobs off the farm. I work in health care. And if we are part of the deplorables because we believe in capitalism and we're against socialism, then we need to all just quit our jobs and quit paying our bills that we pay so that our taxes don't pay for the people that are calling us these atrocious names. And if we did 1/100th of the things illegal that are going on by many of our officials in the government, you know we wouldn't be walking around free. We would be in jail.
Well, I hear you, Lori, in that I was speaking with the former UN Ambassador Ken Blackwell on this program the other day after it came to light just how many laws Hillary Clinton broke when it came to safeguarding classified information. And I asked him, I said, you know, you had above top secret level clearance. I said, if you were to have done with classified material what Hillary Clinton did, what would be going on with you in your life? And he said, Ken, we wouldn't be having this conversation because I'd still be locked up for doing that if I had done that 20 years ago. So I hear you that, yeah, people need to get involved. And people now, of course, again, this program doesn't take a position on the presidential race, so I can't tell you who to get involved with or who to vote for. But we'll just leave it to people to vote according to their values and according to, you know, whether you think that that Donald Trump or Crooked Hillary would make a better president. So thank you, Lori. We appreciate your call. Turning now to Shirley from Tennessee. Shirley, you're on Washington Watch.
Thank you for taking my call. Just a couple of quick things. Obama said when he was speaking with the African Americans and some other people, he's made a quote saying that Hillary isn't inviting y'all to his, Trump isn't inviting you to his country club. And I thought to myself, well, Hillary hadn't either. It's not like Obama has done anything at all for any African Americans, let alone anybody else since he's been president, number one. I don't believe he really wants to stay with Hillary because most of the time he talks about himself in his speeches. So I really don't believe he really wants Hillary either. They don't even like each other. And then also, I'm one of those who, I like it when people say, instead of voting your values, just tell people to vote for the best choice they can make. Because for me personally, as an African American, neither Trump nor Hillary are my values because Trump lied to get to where he was. He lied on Ted Cruz, and I didn't appreciate that. But then Hillary has lied, and murdered people. So, you know, there is no better of the two evils. But if I had to vote and there were the only two candidates, then I'd have to go Trump because I do not trust Hillary. She, to me, is the Antichrist, and she's about to die and needs to sit down because she, with all of this sickness she's got going on.
Shirley, I appreciate your strong thoughts on this. I'll tell you, for people who... For me personally, this election isn't just about the president, it's about the Supreme Court, so it's about the next 40 years, not just the next four. And that's certainly one of the main reasons that I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. But again, that is just my personal vote. Folks, we'll be back with our next guest after the break. Thanks to our callers.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Do I really want to manage my own portfolio? It's a great question, and it's one that we should be thinking about before we get into doing that. As you all know, I'm very concerned about all of us being biblically responsible, doing what is right with the money God has entrusted us, making sure that we're not investing because when we invest, we are taking ownership in companies, making sure that they are biblically responsible companies. In other words, they aren't involved in pornography or abortion or things that would be offensive to God. This is God's money. He has entrusted us to be a good steward of it, and we need to make sure we do that. So if you don't have the time to do the work in managing individual stocks, the best way to do that is mutual funds. But the only mutual funds you can use are the Timothy plans. They're the only true biblically responsible mutual fund company. They are evenly yoked with you and I and desire to make sure that the money that they're managing is being invested in things that are biblically responsible, that are honoring and would be pleasing to God. So if you're going to do the mutual fund route, the only way to do it is with Timothy Plan, timothyplan.com. Not because it is just easier, which it is, but because it's biblically responsible. And it's
we're back, America. This is Ken Klukowski, guest hosting in Washington Watch in the second half of the show. We've been talking about the state of the race. We've been talking about Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, the Supreme Court, and as always, had some colorful views expressed by you, the American people, in our call-in segment. And in our next segment, we will be getting back to your calls at 866-372-7234. So make sure you show up at the mic and let us know what we need to hear here in Washington, D.C., especially if you're disagreeing with what you hear here. If you think you're hearing our opinions, you're hearing our guests, you think we just couldn't be more wrong. Listen, folks, I mean, iron sharpens iron. And what happens when you rub iron together? You get some sparks. So it's if you're not agreeing with what we say here, then bring the sparks, bring the fire. We're ready for it at 866-372-7234. But next, we're going to turn to a good friend and colleague of mine to talk about what I just see as an incredible story that's out right now, and that I just wrote a piece for Breitbart News on. It should be up any moment. In fact, I've just been advised it's up right now. So Google Klukowski and Breitbart and pull it up. And that is this incredible report that went out just last week. Now, I'm sure that all of you heard that on Friday, last Friday, when speaking at an LGBT event, Hillary Clinton said that you, almost all of you listening to this show, you are deplorable. You are a basket of deplorables. She says you are bigoted and you are irredeemable. Now, I have to say, as someone who has been personally redeemed by the blood of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that I know countless others of you listening to the show have as well, I just think it's really rich for Hillary Clinton, of all people, to say that we are irredeemable. So maybe let's offer some serious prayers for Secretary Clinton right now. And boy, I'll tell you, wouldn't that be amazing if Hillary were to come to faith in Jesus Christ right in the middle of a presidential campaign? I think the world would explode. But But in all of that, at least with where she's at right now, she says, we're deplorable, we're bigoted, we're irredeemable. There are hashtags going out, hashtag basket of deplorables, hashtag you are deplorable. There's even a bunch of redneck type jokes going on. You might be deplorable if, and all of those jokes being offered right now. But the day before Hillary Clinton made that comment, there was a government report issued by the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, and the chairman of that commission, Martin Castro, a devoted Democrat, a supporter of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, released a statement when the report went out, in which the chairman of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, appointed by President Barack Obama and supporting Hillary Clinton, says, and I quote, "The phrases religious liberty and religious freedom remain code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, Christian supremacy, or any form of intolerance." That is the chairman of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. And to respond to that, we have my friend and colleague from First Liberty Institute, Mike Berry, who is senior counsel and director of military affairs at First Liberty. Check out what he's doing fighting for your rights there at firstliberty.org. He's a longtime serving member of the U.S. Marine Corps, also a former instructor and adjunct professor of law at the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, graduate of Texas A&M, and received his law degree from the Ohio State University. Mike Berry, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thanks, Ken. It's always great to be with you.
I don't even know how to lead up any more than we have. What the heck do you make of that report and the statement that went with it?
Well, I think the report may be a basket of deplorables itself, but it's really difficult to read through a report of that nature and not come away with anything other than our government now, in a formal statement by the chairman of the commission, has stated that Christians are the problem in this country. And, you know, our founders, when they were drafting the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, there's a reason why they put religious freedom as the first clause of the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights. And that's because they knew that without religious freedom, that man would become a beggar of rights from the government. But they understood, our founders understood, that man should not have to beg for his or her rights from the government, that man is endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights. It appears that our government no longer believes the words and the principles that our founders believed really not too long ago.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike. It's. I was just stunned. I don't think there was any coincidence that last week this report came out. The Civil Rights Commission chairman said what he said, and then the very next day, Hillary Clinton used virtually identical language, talking about homophobia and talking about Islamophobia. And as I said in my piece, again, folks, that's up on Breitbart right now, just to Google Klukowski, Breitbart, Clinton, bigoted, deplorable, and any combination of those, and it will come up, I think she was talking to the people at the Values Voters Summit, where you and I both were. I don't think that was an accident in the context.
No, not at all. And you know, Secretary Clinton's history of making those types of, you know, bombastic statements against people of faith. I mean, not just Christians, but people of faith in general. And
tell you what, Mike, we're coming up on a hard break here. If you can hold with us, we're going to come back and finish this up on the flip side of the break, talking with Mike Berry at First Liberty Institute.
Since I've led tours for many years to the Holy Land, Israel, many people ask me, what's your favorite place to go? I have two, really. The Garden Tomb and Calvary, and the Sea of Galilee. Now, I like all the places we stopped along the way in Israel, but those two places in particular are very special and meaningful. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll be going to all the places you've read about in the Bible since you were a child. It's going to be a very special tour of Israel, the Holy Land, March 9 through 17, 2017. We're taking a direct flight from New York to Tel Aviv. For all the information on this tour, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll send you a brochure. 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Or visit the website twholyland.com.
Every election is important, but this year's is critical. The very survival of our republic is at stake. This is Tony Perkins, and I want to urge you to be a part of securing America's future by selecting godly leaders. As Americans, we have the right to vote. As Christians, we have an obligation to vote, preferring leaders who will stand on biblical principles. If we want our nation to once again be a beacon of hope to the world, Christians must take time to vote. Christians vote, so plan now to vote your biblical value.
Consider serving the Lord with Friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Oops, there's a piece I missed a little bit.
Grandpa, why do we always pick up litter when we go hiking?
Well, we're just making it nicer for people who come after us a little bit. It's called stewardship.
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
It's called stewardship.
I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
And we're back, America, taking your calls at 866-372-7234. Again, 866-372-7234. We're swimming in some hot waters here, and we want you to sound off at 866-372-7234. Along those lines, just as that automated voice just told you a few moments ago, I do want to emphasize, given the sensitive political subject matter that we are currently discussing as we are right in the throes of a presidential election, that again, Washington Watch and our related affiliates do not support or oppose candidates for president or any federal office, for that matter, that any endorsements made or opinions expressed are those of your humble host, our guests, or the callers to Washington Watch. And again, do not necessarily reflect the views of the program. When you're given a disclaimer like that, folks, you know that you are really taking the fire, that you are stepping right into the fight. And so we're going to pick up right where we left off before we get to your calls here with my friend, Mike Berry from First Liberty Institute. Check him out at firstliberty.org. We're talking about religious liberty in America. And Mike, to pick up where we just left off, what's fascinating to me is the kind of religious liberty that you have to say, okay, well, Hillary Clinton has at times made comments supporting what she calls religious liberty. So you have to wonder, well, what's she talking about? If the kind of views we're expressing make us deplorable, bigoted, and even irredeemable, what does she think religious liberty is? And there you see that my good friend Ken Blackwell just this week wrote an article in The Hill that was picked up on the Drudge Report talking about how when Hillary's vice presidential running mate, Tim Kaine, when he was doing mission work in Latin America, he became a zealous advocate for liberation theology, which, as Ambassador Blackwell says, is, quote, a radical Marxist-based ideology at odds with the Church, the Pope, and the United States, but supportive of and supported by the Soviet Union. It's a theology about the redistribution of wealth and revolutionary ideologies and socialist programs like socialized healthcare. I mean, it sounds like it's okay to support those things, but if you want to talk about 2,000-year-old Christian beliefs on marriage, on life, on children, that all of a sudden that makes someone deplorable. Now, I always thought, and correct me if I'm wrong here, and if I am wrong, I'm a lousy lawyer. I always thought that the whole purpose of the First Amendment was to protect speech that some people didn't like. I mean, if speech is popular, then it doesn't need any legal protection. It only seems like when you're saying something that some people object to, that's when you should have the right to do it, and the government needs to respect that right.
No, that's exactly right. And the problem that we're seeing now, you know, at First Liberty Institute, we fight religious freedom cases and we document religious hostility in the country. And I think this is just the next logical step we're seeing. The words of Hillary Clinton are, you know, keeping in line with what we've seen from President Obama and other government officials, saying that what religious freedom really means is, as long as you are inside the four walls of your church or the four walls of your home, you're allowed to say, think, or believe whatever you want. But once you step outside those walls of your church, your temple, your synagogue, or your house, now you're on the government's turf. And that's what I was pointing out earlier, is that the government network, or at least these particular people, you know, President Obama and Hillary Clinton, they believe that the government has the right to dictate what we're allowed to say, think, believe, and express out in public. And just as you pointed out, Ken, that's not the way that our founders framed the Constitution and set up our country. That's what's so dangerous about this type of rhetoric.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts, Mike. And of course, I know that you and I are both representing plenty of clients who have the teeth of the government into them right now because government is not respecting their rights. We've been talking with Mike Berry from First Liberty Institute. Again, check out the work being done there at firstliberty.org. Mike, thanks so much and God bless. Turning now to our callers at 866-372-7234. My message to everyone, do any of you think that we're wrong? There's a million of you. Some of us have to think that you're wrong. And if so, then call in and let me know at 866-372-7234. I don't know if she's going to say I'm right or wrong, but we're starting with Patsy in Louisiana. Patsy, you're on Washington Watch.
Well, I thank you for taking my call. I don't even know where to start. I'm going to try to remain calm. But when I talk about Hillary Clinton, my blood pressure just soars.
Are you deplorable, Patsy? Are you just a deplorable, irredeemable person?
I absolutely am. I'm part of that basket. But I've already been redeemed by Jesus Christ, so what can I say? But it still irritates me. I mean, this lady who has the morals of an alley cat sitting up there passing judgment on how many millions of Americans, and such a hypocrite. And I just don't get it. She's such a liar, and she has a long history of crimes. If you would just allow me to say one quick thing.
Go ahead.
About Donald Trump. I was not I don't have any choice now. I've got to vote for Donald Trump because we do not want Hillary in the White House. But this man can do nothing right. But I don't know if you're aware of it, but we had a flood in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And we didn't have 3 weeks warning like they did in New Orleans, or 2 weeks warning that it was coming. I mean, the water just came and parked over Baton Rouge and fell.
Yes, we covered it on this program.
And thousands of people lost everything. And Donald Trump came to Baton Rouge on his own dime. He didn't make a big deal out of it, but the people that hate him tried to make a big deal and twist it and make it look bad. But he went and visited at Greenwood Springs Baptist Church, wrote him a check for $100,000, which was good, because it looks as if our American Red Cross has become corrupted like the rest of the country. And then he brought in an 18-wheeler full of toys, and the biased news media said he just gave them a bunch of Play-Doh, and that was a lie. I mean, no matter what this man does, it's never right.
I hear what you're saying, Patsy, and you are not the first person from Louisiana to say how grateful they were that Mr. Trump came down to help with the relief effort, that he spent his own money doing it, that his running mate, Governor Mike Pence, came down and did it, but that Hillary Clinton was hanging out on the golf course there and with her buddies at Martha's Vineyard. So don't want to get too close to the people who are dirty from the floods down in Louisiana, I guess. But it's I agree. I thought it was a great humanitarian work that he did, and in that people need to keep that in mind ignore the media when the media ignores Good Samaritan work like that. Patsy, thanks for calling. Turning now to Clay from Florida. Clay, you're on Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
I can hear you great.
Okay. Well, I'm not from the basket of the deplorables. I think it was deplorable that Hillary wouldn't have made a statement like that. I'm really disappointed in both candidates. I think they're both dividing the country. You know, shows like yours could do a lot more good by trying to unify the country versus making the comments about crooked Hillary or Donald Trump. Neither one is a good choice, and we're all in a bad position. But the one thing I wanted to comment with the lady Patsy from Louisiana, I know Donald Trump did come down there, but, you know, $100,000 to Donald Trump is nothing. And for him to be the way that he is and things that he said things even more deplorable than what Hillary has said. So in my opinion, they're both equally as bad. And it's
so who are you voting for, Clay? I'm not sure which way you're leaning here.
I'm not casting a vote this time. I can't. My good conscience will not allow me to vote for either of the two. I'm sorry.
Well, I appreciate your views, and I'm glad that you would call in and take the hate like that. I mean, again, for me, when I have people, you know, I work in religious liberty, and I work on issues of life and liberty and constitutional rights. And so speaking for myself personally, when people – if anyone says to me they can't vote for Donald Trump, I say, okay, great, don't. Vote for the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court is about the next 40 years, not the next four. I truly believe, because I have been involved in over a dozen cases before the nation's highest court, and I know some of the issues that we all take for granted, that we've had all our lives, that we had all through our parents' and grandparents' lives, they are hanging by a single vote at the Supreme Court. And now one of the great defenders of liberty, Antonin Scalia, has passed away. The next president will fill his seat during the next few months during the first few months of the presidential term. And I have to say, I am. If Hillary Clinton fills Justice Scalia's seat, I do not believe the listeners to this show will recognize their country 4 years from now. And I don't believe that there's going to be any of those people who, again, like me, are found in the basket of deplorables. I don't think there's a single one that if they sit on the sidelines this time are going to feel good about that decision 4 years from now. But I appreciate so much that you would call in. Thank you, Clay. Turning now to Melanie from Texas. Melanie, you're on Washington Watch.
Yes, hello. I love your programs. I just want to say one thing about Hillary Clinton. I deal with a lot of college students, and they're kind of excited about voting for the first woman president like they were about voting for Barack Obama as the first black president. It's not about voting for the first woman president. It's about voting for the wrong woman to be the first woman president. This woman is a liar, a murderer, a lawbreaker, a socialist. I don't want my granddaughters or my daughters or my great-granddaughters looking up to a woman like that.
I hear you, Melanie. I don't know about the murder one myself, but certainly the lawbreaker, the liar, and a few other things that you said. I can think of some stuff I've seen in the news that would lead to that conclusion. And I hear you. It's, personally, for me, it's I just don't understand why Hillary Clinton seems to be, as William Safire said 20 years ago, a congenital liar. I just do not understand why you have to lie about just so many things where you know it's going to come out sooner or later. I mean, concealing the fact that you have pneumonia and then going and hugging a little girl. I mean, it's pneumonia is contagious. And yeah, go tell that little girl's mom, hey, great, she's hugging Hillary Clinton. You know she's got pneumonia right now, right? It's just I can't see that. I'm wondering where the outrage is on that, by the way. Where are the women's groups coming out saying, hey, no to people with pneumonia hugging children? I mean, is this really something there should be an ad on TV about that, you know? I mean, there are certain things that common sense says you just don't need to be told. One of them is, you know, well, I guess, goodness, I mean, stuff I tell my kids, like they said during the Republican convention, you know, don't set up your own email server and hide it in the basement and then lie to the FBI about it. I mean, and while you're at it, if you have pneumonia, don't hug a little kid. I appreciate your call, Melanie. And turning now to Jerry from Mississippi. Jerry, you're on Washington Watch. Do you have pneumonia, Jerry?
No, not yet. Thank
okay,
you.
Great. Well, don't hug Hillary or you might, but go ahead.
I appreciate what you all are doing. God bless you. I'm a constitutional conservative, Bible-believing Christian.
Amen.
Lord, and I want to do what's right, bring glory to Him. I'm, you know, the only choice I have in this to do my civic duty would be Donald Trump, and that's, you know, that's the lesser of the evils. I feel like that's who we vote. That's where we vote anyway the past few years, but. I've got a general question for you, and being as you're a lawyer, is that right?
You're talking my game here, Jerry. You got it. Lay it on me. Throw me a fastball.
Tell me if we, even on our Christian programs, sometimes aren't whitewashing things a little bit. My question has to do with, like, for example,
I do the opposite of whitewashing things so much, Jerry, that I have to read that disclaimer more than once so that people understand that we're not endangering anyone's tax-exempt status. So, yeah, I am not a fan of whitewashing. I love to throw it all out there. Keep going.
All right. So Barack Obama is sitting president of the United States in the past time that he's been here. Is he not – do we not have any kind of offenses on him that would require looking into impeachment and treason? You go ahead with your thoughts on that.
Oh, great question. I'll take them in reverse order. First of all, treason is the only crime that is actually defined by the U.S. Constitution, and it is defined as taking up arms against the United States or giving material support to our wartime enemies, and it requires two eyewitnesses to the event. Now, it's as strongly as I oppose President Obama's actions on so many issues, none of those fit the Constitution's definition for treason. Now, regarding impeachment and removal, that can be done for whatever reason the U.S. House and U.S. Senate say. The Constitution says for treason, bribery, and other high crimes and misdemeanors. The reality is that's all left to the political judgment of the American people's elected leaders. I don't see anything like that happening in the last few months of his presidential term. He is immune from civil suit while he is in office. But the president is also still subject to criminal liability once he leaves office. So that was a whole bunch of law. I hope that made sense to you. And thanks for calling in, Jerry. Folks, that's all the time we have today for Washington Watch. I've been your guest host, Ken Klukowski, senior counsel at First Liberty Institute. Check out what we're doing fighting for you there at firstliberty.org. Also, check out the news at Breitbart.com. Thanks so much, and God bless.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.